Lord Jesus, please show us your glory and help us to reflect your glory. Please open my lips to speak your word and pour out your Holy Spirit on us as your people that we may hear and receive your word and your promises. We pray in your name. Amen. Today I'm preaching on the transfiguration of Jesus. And as I get into this passage and what is going on here, I'd first like to ask you to think if you have had any mountaintop experiences, if you have had recently any moments which have just stopped you in wonder and amazement and your jaw has kind of hit the floor and you have just gone, wow, wow. Okay, I'm going to tell you about a wow moment that I had recently. I was with my friend Craig, actually. Earlier this week, we went to see a movie. Now, it's a documentary. It's called Free Solo, and it actually won the Best Documentary Oscar at the Oscars last week. This is the story of a man called Alex Hanold, who is a mountain climber, and he decided that he would attempt to free solo El Capitan in Yosemite National Park. Now, El Capitan is a sheer cliff of granite that is 3,000 feet high, 1,000 meters high. And to free solo something means to climb without ropes or equipment, no safety, by himself. Okay? Now, it took him several years of training and of moving, of working out all the moves. He did this roped first, but his friends, who are also mountain climbers, were filming him. So they're on ropes with their massive cameras. They're halfway down this mountainside while Alex is doing these moves. And then the final climactic scene, I mean, we know that he survives, okay? He's still doing talk shows. He's still climbing. He's still alive. But he is climbing a sheer granite cliff with no ropes, with no safety net, with nothing holding him. And as he climbs that mountain, I cannot recall another movie in which I have just said, wow, so many times. I knew that he was going to survive, and yet I was on the edge of his seat going, oh my goodness, so scary. It's in those wow moments, those moments of transcendence, those moments where something breaks through the ordinary and we catch a glimpse of what is so much bigger and greater and more glorious than us. And I think actually that those wow moments for us can be just a tiny glimpse of heaven, a tiny glimpse of what it's like to live in the presence of the glory of God. And that's what Peter, James, and John experience in the Transfiguration. They have a moment where God's glory breaks through the ordinary, where they know that the everyday experiences of life are not all that there is to this world. Let me read some verses from Luke 9 for you. Jesus took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountainside to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. And then two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus, speaking about his departure, which he's about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. You know, it might be hard for us, and as I was preparing this sermon, it was actually hard for me to think, what on earth does the transfiguration of Jesus, his shining face on a mountain 2,000 years ago with just three people watching, Peter, James, and John, what on earth does that have to do with me and my Christian life from day to day? But you see, one of the points of the transfiguration is that there is such a thing as glory. Life in the world as we live it every day is not the whole story. There's this reality beyond what we see or beyond what we imagine, And sometimes that reality breaks through. And right now, in the Transfiguration, that reality of the glory of Jesus breaks through into this mundane world. And Jesus gives his disciples a glimpse of his glory. It's a wow moment. It's something that they will never forget. My dad often says that in the Christian church, we're more likely to forget that Jesus is human than to forget that Jesus is God. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but I think that the opposite is actually true in our culture. I think that in our culture, in Australia today, we're more likely to forget or to not even know or to reject the fact that Jesus is God than we are to forget that he's actually a true human being. And if you talk to people, you'll get a sense of that, right? People say, oh yeah, Jesus, he was a good man, you know, great teacher, good morals, all that kind of thing. But no, he's not God. He's not God in the flesh with us. Well, the Transfiguration shows us that Jesus is God. Jesus is the unique Son of God the Father, bringing God's glory to earth. So that's the first point. God in the flesh is on this earth. Heaven has broken through. It's a wow moment. It's an amazing moment. And John, who saw the glory of Jesus, wrote these powerful words in his gospel in John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word, that's Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father full of grace and truth. To encounter Jesus is to encounter God himself. It's to see heaven breaking through. It's to know that there is more to this life than what we often see. But the second point is this. Jesus comes down the mountain. See, what does Peter want to do? Peter sees Jesus and Elijah and Moses. And what does he say? Not a rhetorical question. What does Peter say?
We must build shelters.
Yep. Yep. Okay, he says, Lord, it's good for us to be here. What an awesome mountaintop experience. We want to box this experience. We want to keep it. Let's build some shelters so that Elijah and Moses and you can all stay here and we can live here on the top of the mountain, happy in God's glory. But Jesus comes down the mountain, doesn't he? Jesus doesn't go, yeah, you know what? It's great up here on the mountaintop. He comes down into the valley. And what does he encounter in the valley? The power of evil, the power of sickness, the power of suffering. And so the second point about the Transfiguration is that Jesus brings the glory of God down into the everyday stuff of life. That Jesus is not just God, but God with us. And not just God with us in the nice parts of life, but God with us when life is really tough. God with us when we feel the oppressive power of evil in our life. God with us when sickness and the brokenness of the world is affecting us. God with us in the mess and the muck of everyday life. So as Jesus comes down the mountain, he encounters a man whose son is afflicted by the power of evil. Now, we're not quite sure what that affliction was. We don't know if it might have been epilepsy or demonic oppression or what it was. But this man's son is not as he was meant to be. He's not as he was created to be. And he begs Jesus, please drive the demon out, heal my son. You know, it's destroying him. And that's what the devil comes to do, to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus heals the man's son, gives him back to him, whole and with us. See, there's a song, you might remember it, by, I think it was Bette Midler originally, God is Watching Us. Anyone know what I'm talking about? From a distance, God is watching us, right? No, God is not watching us from a distance. In Jesus, God comes to us. We need more than a God who is watching us from a distance going, oh, those poor people. Look at the state of the universe. That's awful. I feel so bad. We need God down in the valley, in our pains and our suffering, with us. And that's who Jesus is. So Jesus is God. Jesus is God with us in the pain and the suffering of everyday life. But thirdly, what the transfiguration shows us is that we are created for glory. We are created for glory. We are destined to be beings who radiate the glory of God because we're connected with Jesus. It's hard to get our heads around that because life happens and it seems so normal and it seems so mundane and so sometimes it seems so painful. But listen to what, again, the Apostle Paul wrote that Yvette read out to us before from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 to 18. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Do you hear what Paul is saying? We reflect the glory of God through Christ. We are being transformed to be more and more like Jesus. We are being transformed to be people who shine with the glory of God and who bring that light into the darkness of everyday life. We are destined for glory, you and I. There's some fantastic quotes from the 20th century author C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Narnia Chronicles and a whole lot of other Christian literature. And I want to share a couple of them with you because I think that helps us to understand and to get a grasp on what it means to be destined for glory. We are not just beings of dust. We're not just destined to die and then that's it. We're destined to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. And the quotes go like this. If we consider the promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. We are like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he can't imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased, says C.S. Lewis. God wants so much more for us than we even dare to ask or imagine. God wants to transform us in the glory of Christ and use us to shine a light in our dark world. God wants us to know joy, mountaintop experiences, God moments in the presence of Jesus. And this one is a fairly famous quote from C.S. Lewis from his book Mere Christianity. He says, "Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such a thing as water. People feel sexual desire. Well, there is such a thing as sex. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. All of us, deep down, long for more than what this world can give. We long for glory to be true. We long to have intimacy with God. we long to reflect the image of God and the face of Christ with which we were created. And the Transfiguration is a brief glimpse into that glory and into the glory with which God is transforming us to reflect the light of Christ in this world. And there's only one way to get there. There's only one way to have those desires for something transcendent, for something beyond ourselves, truly satisfied. And that way is through Jesus. On the mountain, God says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. He is the way. He is God's glory here among us, transforming us into his likeness." So the Transfiguration, this unusual episode in the life of Jesus, what does it really say to us today? Three things. First of all, Jesus is glorious. He is God in the flesh. Second, Jesus is not just God, but God with us. He comes down the mountain into our valleys, into our pains and sufferings, and he transforms them. And third, we are destined for glory. God has more for us than we can ever imagine through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.